Good morning, everyone. So good to be with you this morning. Do you know what? I can hardly believe that next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Yep, it is next week. And because of that, we're going to have a wee break on our Ephesians series to celebrate our risen Saviour. So why don't you invite your friends and family, your neighbours to come and join in? It's going to be awesome. And we have a real treat for you next week. We're doing things a wee bit different, but you definitely don't want to miss out. So tell your friends and family to jump on and come along to our Easter service. It's going to be great. Right, back to this morning and in our series of Being and Doing. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, right through to chapter 5, verse 2. And so far, we've looked at who God is, what God has done for us, and the identity God has given us in Christ. Last week, Andrew showed us that now that our identity is in Christ is settled, God has equipped us to live a different way. That because of all that Christ has done for us, we are now to respond by leading a life worthy of our calling, because you have been called by God. And you know, Paul describes this new life as one that models and reflects the character of Jesus, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And furthermore, God has placed in each of us unique gifts and talents to build up the church and to grow more like Christ and reveal the love of Jesus to the world. There is a place for everyone in the kingdom of God and in the church. Everyone has a part to play, and we need everyone to be in their place, because when you're not in your place, everyone misses out, because we are all valuable to each other as the body of Christ. Now, as we move on this week, Paul reminds the Ephesians again that they belong to Christ, and therefore they should no longer live as they used to. Let's have a look. Verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Do you know, maybe Paul is reminding them because his old thought patterns were emerging, or old behavioural patterns were creeping back in, and they were needing reminding of they are no longer who they were. And this is not what they have learned since they heard about Jesus. And in our passage this week, we can see a list that describes what our old nature was, things that are not the character of Jesus. Things like telling lies, being controlled by anger, stealing, bad language, bringing sorrow to God's spirit by the way we live, bitterness, rage, harsh and slanderous words. Rather than these behaviours shaping our character, we have to let our thoughts and attitudes be renewed by God's Spirit. We have to put on the new nature that Christ has given us, for we are Christ's representatives. We bear His name. We are called Christians. His name is literally what we call ourselves. This week, I was reading a story and I thought it was really good. I'd like to share it with you. This is the story. Several centuries ago, there was a man called Alexander the Great, and he decided that he would conquer the Mediterranean world. On one of his campaigns, Alexander received a message that one of his soldiers had been continually and seriously misbehaving, thereby shedding a bad light on the character of all the Greek troops. And what made it even worse was that this soldier's name was also Alexander. Well, when the commander learned this, he sent word that he wanted to talk to this other Alexander in person. And when the young man arrived at the tent of Alexander the Great, the commander asked him, "What is your name?" And the reply came, "Alexander, sir." Alexander the Great looked him straight in the eye and he said forcefully, "Soldier, either change your behaviour or change your name." I thought that was quite good. Good story, right? Thumbs up. When we call ourselves Christians, we are identifying ourselves with Jesus. We are taking on his name. And we should be mindful, therefore, of our behaviour because we are identifying with the name of Jesus. In Jesus, each one of us is a new person. We have a new identity in Jesus. And it is from this identity that we have to live from. Just as Alexander the Great expected the soldier bearing his name to behave in a certain way, Jesus expects those who are in him and bear his name to live a certain way too. And in order to do this, we have to take off the old nature and then put on the new nature. Do you know what I think about? It's like when I'm going to buy a new coat, I like to go in the shop and I select the jacket I want, I don't just put the new jacket on straight away. There's something I've got to do first. You're right. I have to take off my old jacket, give it to someone to hold for me, and then put on the new. You take off the old and put on the new. And this is kind of like what Paul is saying. Before we put on the new nature in Christ, we must take off the old ways of doing things. We must take off our old thought patterns, our old attitudes. If you haven't shed your old nature, then trying to live like Jesus with your old clothes on just doesn't work. You know, you might look the part, but underneath, nothing's really changed. And it's not very comfortable. We have to start by taking off the old nature and start putting on the new nature in Christ. And we do this by letting the Holy Spirit renew our mind, by allowing him to renew our thoughts. Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, this doesn't mean that we are not to do anything either. We just sit back and let God do everything. No, it's not. It's when we choose to be in a relationship with God, we still have our part to play. We partner with God as he changes us. We have to stop doing things in order to put on the new. We have to stop thinking certain things in order to think on the things God has said about us. And this is not just a one-time thing. It's not you do it once and then that's it. No, this is something that we have to continue working on this side of eternity. So, what is the new nature? Well, let's have a look. In Ephesians 4:24 says this: stop telling lies. Let us tell a neighbour the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. So, take off telling lies and speak truth, and put on speaking truth. So, it's easy. Stop telling lies. So, why do we tell lies? Why do we tell lies in the first place? Well, we might tell a lie to make ourselves look better, or we might tell a lie to protect ourselves from experiencing some embarrassment, or we might tell lies to avoid the disapproval of others, or we might tell lies to avoid conflict. But for whatever reason we decide to lie, that is not the best for us, because when we lie, we are living from our old nature. So take off telling lies by being truthful. And when we put on the new life by speaking the truth is living from our new nature in Christ. And as we move on, Paul highlights anger, verse 26, 27. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So we have to take off being controlled by anger and put on self-control. Now, I would like to point out that anger itself is not wrong. It's when we let anger control us, or we live from a place of anger, that's highlighted here. That's when it's saying not good. That's the old sinful nature. Be angry and do not sin. When we live from our new nature, we may get angry, but we are not controlled by anger. You see, the devil's aim is to accuse and divide the family of God and to sow discord among them. And when we harbour anger in our hearts or hold on to it for longer than we should, then we're doing the devil's work for him. There are many, many accounts in the Old Testament of God being angry. So we know that anger is an expected emotion. However, it's when we let anger control us that we have a problem. And I looked up anger and it says this: anger becomes a problem when you have trouble controlling it, causing you to say or do things you regret. And a 2010 study found that uncontrolled anger is bad for your physical and emotional health. It can also quickly escalate to verbal or physical violence, harming you and those around you. So allowing anger to control you is not living out of your new identity in Christ. Verse 28 says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. If stealing is something you do, you have to stop. Instead, do something good with your hands. So take off stealing and put on generosity. Now, when I read this verse, I quite often just skip past it because I think, that's definitely not me. I would never think of going to a shop and stealing. I don't find that a hard one. But what about looking in a different way? What about thinking about bringing things from home? Some stationery, say, oh, we've got loads of that at work, I'll bring some of that home. Or taking anything without permission. Or even slipping out of work thinking no one noticed early. So that'd be like stealing time from your employer. That makes me think a wee bit more. Our old nature might want to keep everything we have earned for ourselves. After all, I worked hard for it. But as kingdom people, our new nature is brimming with generosity, being generous with what we have and helping others who are in need. Our new nature says, work hard and bless others with what you've earned. Next, we are challenged about how we speak. Verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So take off using bad language and put on using encouragement. What do you use your words for? Do they build up or do they tear down? Do they speak life into someone? Or do they leave them feeling destroyed, downhearted? The Apostle James compares our tongue to a flame of fire and calls it a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Do you know, it's really important that we think before we speak. Before you say anything, we should be asking ourselves these five simple questions. Is it truthful? So it's T-H-I-N-K-T. Is it truthful? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? And you know, if you can answer no to one of these, then maybe, just maybe, say nothing. In Christ, we want our words to be encouraging and uplifting. So when you're speaking, do you sound like Jesus? When we live from our new nature in Jesus, you are aware of your words, speaking only what is good. And your words that edify, build up, wanting to impart grace to everyone you speak to, whether you know them or not, whether they deserve them or not. And that leads us nicely into Paul's final instruction in chapter 4. which is take off bitterness and put on love. It says this in 31:32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. When we are living from our new identity, you have control of your emotions, bitterness, wrath, anger, so forth. And when these things come up, you are more aware of them and you can identify them much more quickly. Then you can say, no, that is the way I used to think, but I am a new creation. I have a new nature in Christ. And then you choose. Instead of letting that bad feeling grow and develop, we stop. We stop them in their tracks and say, I choose to think the best of that person and I choose to love them. Living from your new identity in Christ, you're able to deal with others in a manner that brings glory to God. And this also brings us into unity, which we heard about last time. All these things that are taking off the old nature, and all the things we are putting on display the character of Jesus, which is our new nature. And the more we grow, and the more we are aware of our thoughts and words and actions, the more we will become like Jesus. That's the goal, right? To be more and more like Jesus. So, I guess my question for you all this morning is this. Are you wearing your new identity in Christ? You know, it got me thinking, of putting things on and how it can make you feel. I remember a time when my big brother, when he was a little kid, he would put on his Superman costume. And when he put that on, he actually thought he was Superman and that he could actually fly. And as you can imagine, that did not end well. What he would do is when he had his costume on, he would climb up to the top of the highest piece of furniture in the house, and then he would jump off, shouting, Superman, thinking he would fly. Of course, he didn't. He didn't fly. He just broke a few bones. And then I think the costume vanished. And I also think of our youngest daughter, Elena. When she was a wee girl, she would put on her Snow White dress. And I noticed when she put this on, like, her behaviour changed. She would start talking differently. She would start doing things like this when we were taking pictures. I thought, what is she doing? What's happening? And I noticed that she changed when she put on her Snow White costume. And for Elena, when she put on that dress, her Snow White dress, she was actually Snow White. The real Snow White. But when we wear our new identity in Christ, we become more like Jesus. And we should reflect and model his character. We're not putting on a pretend thing like the costumes. It's not a costume like my brother, but rather a new way of thinking. We become confident to live out of our new identity as children of God. We take off the way we were before we knew Jesus and put on our new Christ-like nature, becoming more like Jesus, which produces this kind of living. We find in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. What a way to live, exuberant of all of these things. As I said before, it's not a one-time thing. We have to work at this. It's something we will always keep working on. Well, something we'll always keep growing in this side of eternity. It is a process. It's a journey. So let's start leaning into the identity God has already given us. If people were to listen to your words, would they be able to identify that? I'll start again. If people were to listen to your words, would they be able to identify you as a follower of Jesus by the way you speak? If someone has caused you to be angry, would they recognize that you are a follower of Jesus by the way you conducted yourself in that situation? Do you act out of anger or do you act out of love and grace? Remember, it's not just your reputation that's at stake, but it's also the reputation of God. And you know, it grieves God's spirit when we live out of the old nature instead of the new nature that we have been given. And because Jesus took all of our old sinful nature to the cross so that we could put on the new nature which is in Jesus. This morning we started off by Paul saying that in Jesus you are a new person. And this new person is made to be like God. God loves you. God is kind to you. And through Jesus, God forgives all our faults and failures. Amen. Therefore, imitate God in everything that you do because you are His children. I loved that story Nikki said the other week. When she sees her boys being unkind to each other, she reminds them that they are Jordan boys and that's not how Jordan boys behave towards each other. I just think this is a beautiful picture of us as children of God being reminded that's not who we are. That's the old way. This is who we have to live. And as we keep putting on our new nature in Christ, it will develop in us the fruit of the Spirit, which will lead us to becoming more and more like Jesus. And when we are becoming more and more like Jesus, that is what also unites us. Ephesians 5 says this, watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behaviour from the parents. Most of what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loves us, loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Falkirk Vineyard, oh, that we would be a church that loves like that. Oh. And this is how we put on. This is how we put everything into practice. We look to God, we watch what He does, then do what He does. We watch how God loves and we just imitate Him. We love like God. Let God be your example. Love how God loves. Be kind the way God is kind. Show mercy the way God has shown mercy. And I'm just going to finish with one piece of scripture. Ephesians 5:2 says, imitate God in everything you do because you are His dear children.